Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Hey everyone, you've probably heard us talking about Magnificent Jerk. It's a story about discovering family secrets buried in a low-budget 90s thriller starring Rob Lowe and Ice-T. Magnificent Jerk takes you on a journey through Chinatown gangs, drug robberies, Hollywood reinvention, and a family confronting its unspoken past. It's the true story about a fake story about a real life. Magnificent Jerk is an Apple Original podcast produced by Pineapple Street Studios. All episodes are available now. Follow and listen on Apple Podcasts.
We are pleased to welcome Kimmy Checks, host of NFL Total Access, and also headed to Germany, Frankfurt, as a matter of fact, for a broadcast coming up on Sunday morning. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Kimmy, you hear what we get from Ron Rivera about the future and moving forward. So these moves by the Commanders, what do they say to you?
I mean, it's so funny because, you know, we're reacting to all of this in real time and we kind of sit here scratching our heads saying, all right, what the hell are the Commanders thinking and what does this move really signal? If you look at the Sweat trade to the Bears, you know, there's a huge question mark there because he's not necessarily guaranteed to stay after this season. So it's kind of an interesting conundrum to make that trade and to give up some draft capital, knowing that the Bears aren't necessarily in a hunt this season. And then the move to, you know, have Chase Young join the 49ers, which is already this behemoth of a football squad. Obviously, they've had a little 3-week skid of some losses here. But it's just overall, it just shows that, you know, the trades in the NFL, while may seemingly nonsensical to all of us, you know, these GMs and the front offices of these teams are making these strategic moves that maybe we won't see pay off necessarily this season, but for in the future. And I think it's really interesting to look at it through a lens of, all right, if, you know, a team like the Bears, for example, are making a move like this and, you know, gaining a player, what does this also signal for them after this season? Because I think, you know, week 9, we can start to get an understanding of where the playoffs may take us and what teams may be in that hunt. But it's an even more exciting prospect to think far out into next season and beyond. What are these trade moves? What implications do those now make that we're not even aware of?
Well, and thinking about it from the Washington perspective, brand new ownership that got in about the time
exactly.
That training camp and preseason were taking place. But Chase Young is a guy that would be valuable on any roster. So I sometimes wonder about teams when they start divesting themselves of valuable pieces, because you still have to find a good pass rusher if you want to be a winner.
Right, right. It's very interesting that I think they're kind of in a restart and a refresh. And I know, you know, headed into training camp and the preseason, you know, this is a team that had fans lining up for training camp. This is a team that are selling out football games. And much of that is because of the reset that they're doing. And obviously, you know, so many fans in Washington are a fan of Chase Young. And when he's healthy and on the field, understanding the impact he has. But it signals that they're not, you know, they're not afraid to make large moves to better the organization. And we may not see that pay off right away. But for years and seasons to come, they're intentionally trying to give fans something to be excited about and signal that they're not afraid to make moves for the betterment of the organization.
Kind of wonder, too, how things might have been different if they had hung on for that victory over the Eagles on Sunday. But, of course, that didn't happen. And so it changes a lot when you have the back-to-back losses. So, Kimmy, you mentioned the 49ers. Their defense is formidable. So many veterans, incredible athletes and talent. They do have the 3 consecutive losses. What stands out to you about this mini skid?
You know, a really interesting thing that we're toying with and really talking about is that, you know, beginning of the season when the 49ers were 5-0 to start, they were playing from ahead. And now that they've had to play from behind, some of those mistakes that we're seeing from Brock Purdy and some of the stutters on the offense are because that there's more pressure. And something that Brock Purdy does beautifully is that he trusts the system, he trusts his play callers, he trusts his receivers to get open and find the ball. But when that pressure starts to come and some of those pieces, you know, fade away, like Debo being out and not in the lineup, that's where some of the hiccups have happened. So, you know, we think this bye week comes at the best time for them. And hopefully when they come back, they return with Debo healthy and in the lineup. But it really just comes down to adjusting how they're playing these games, because when you're red hot and you're on top all the time, the pressure is not as much there. So you don't feel as inclined to make these last minute decisions where you second guess yourself and you're scrambling and maybe you're overthrowing or you're underthrowing because that pressure is there. So if anything, it's a really good lesson for Brock Purdy and this entire offense and entire team to realize, hey, we're going to be in some situations where we need to play from behind. And now we need to adjust our mindset and abilities to ensure that we can still be competitive and win those games, even when we're not in a lead.
Yeah, certainly some teams right now going through adversity, not just the Niners, also the Chiefs, which is interesting because they have been in every situation you possibly can face in the past 5 years and usually come out on top. We're spending a few minutes with Kimmy Checks. We're really excited to have her on the show for the first time, an analyst from NFL Network and NFL Total Access, which airs nightly at 7 o'clock Eastern on the NFL Network. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. You have the chance to do an international trip, the Chiefs and the Dolphins. Man, what a matchup for Frankfurt. What's your excitement level as you get a chance to head overseas?
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I'm like thinking all of my lucky stars that this is a matchup that I get to head overseas for, especially knowing, you know, it's marquee between two very exciting and high-powered AFC teams. Candidly, and I do not hide this, so maybe I should, I'm from Kansas City, Missouri originally, and actually worked with the Chiefs during the preseason. So not only am I a fan of this game, but I'm a fan of one of the teams playing in the game. And I think it's going to be a really exciting opportunity to see both of these teams up close and in person, but also teams that, you know, have a few question marks. As great as the Dolphins have been, you know, there's been questions about them winning against teams that are better than, you know, 500 this season. Right. And with some with the Chiefs, there's some questions on what exactly happened versus Denver. And why is, you know, Mahomes maybe not being as efficient when he's pressured this season? Why does it seem that Travis Kelce is really the only impact receiver in these big moments? So I think, one, the excitement is through the roof, but two, it's a really good test to see these teams up close, in person, in a very competitive matchup, while also understanding the nuances of travel and the nuances of these teams shifting time zones and making this long journey, you know, to Germany and being in front of this international fan base. But what is that going to do to their ability on the football field? And will that impact maybe the high-powered offenses we've seen previously?
How will you handle travel then?
Oh, you know, I'm a new mom. I have a 10-and-a-half-month-year-old, so I function very well on minimal sleep. I'm really hoping I can fall asleep and just sleep the entire plane ride and have amazing dreams and then hit the ground running. Once I land Friday morning, I'll head straight to Chiefs practice and meet with the team and meet with the players and really just go, you know, hard in Frankfurt and get boots on the ground, get some insights, do the game on Sunday and turn right back around on Monday to get back to TA on Tuesday. So it'll be a very quick trip. Thankfully, I know that, you know, me not functioning on sleep, I can survive because I've been doing it the last 10-and-a-half months. But no complaints when you get to travel overseas to watch a really great football game.
Right. That's awesome. And yes, you have practice. Maybe that's the answer for some of the dads on these rosters. Stay up overnight with your young kiddos and that will help you adjust.
You know, maybe Mahomes is going to be fantastic because he's got two kiddos under, you know, the age of 2.5 or 3.
Right.
So he should know what, you know, functioning on low sleep feels like. So maybe this will be his best game yet this season. You never know.
In the AFC right now, we have Dolphins and Chiefs, who are both 6-2. Jaguars, who won 5 in a row, and they're pros at the international scene, also 6-2. Plus the Ravens, who are completely different in the way that they play football. Gritty, it's gutty, sometimes it's downright ugly, and yet it has staying power. Why is that?
I mean, all credit really goes, not all credit, right? A lot of credit, I think, this season goes to Lamar Jackson. Just seeing the emphasis on him focusing on being a quarterback this year and kind of silencing the noise around him leaving the pocket too much. There are games, and I've looked back at some film, where there are moments where normally he would take off and run himself, but he waited in the pocket and kind of was uncomfortable in that moment and then delivered a stinger of a football that went into the end zone for a touchdown. And really seeing this kind of metamorphosis and emphasis on him really getting comfortable in this new Todd Monken offense and understanding it, I think he has so much ability. Obviously, he's a former MVP. And my co-host on Total Access, Mike Yam, said that was his dark horse candidate for MVP this season. And I actually don't think it's too far-fetched to say that. If they can continue to win in these gritty situations and we see even more evolution and poise and maturity from Lamar Jackson leading the squad, if they get down in there and get their way to the playoffs, they could win this thing in a really interesting way. And I just have so much respect for the organization and what they're doing to sustain in these games.
Agreed. And funny that you say dark horse for MVP, because I felt that way about Jared Goff. I was kind of throwing the name out there, testing the water, see how it would work. And then, of course, they got completely slammed by the Ravens in week number 7. However, the Lions recover. They get a victory on Monday Night Football, Kimmy. And they're now at 6-2, one of the top records in the NFL. How have you seen them over the past couple of years under Dan Campbell turn into a contender? What impresses you the most?
Well, I think previously we say, oh, it's the Cinderella story. It's the Cinderella story of the Detroit Lions. Let's be abundantly clear. There is nothing Cinderella story about this 2023 team. It's no longer that they're the underdogs or the fun ones to root for. It's that they're fantastically coached and have fantastic ability. They're a very, very, very good football team. And to see the excitement around this team, and even, you know, looking last night during Monday Night Football, that stadium is sold out and jam-packed. And they were so incredibly, as a fan base, involved and bought into what's happening on this Dan Campbell-led team, that I think in the AFC, people better watch out, because the Lions are right there at the top. And obviously, a tough loss against the Ravens, but it's a good test. I think we all know that this is a league that is a weekly league, and the parity between teams is incredible. But the Lions sit there in a really favorable position. They have a very favorable remaining schedule through the rest of the season. And they could be sitting on top of this thing at the end and laughing. And Dan Campbell, for all of his amazing sound bites, can say, see, I told you we were going to bite some kneecaps. It didn't happen that season. But, you know, damn right it did happen. And now here we are competing for the big game in February.
Kimmy Checks is with us from NFL Network. She's the host of NFL Total Access on weeknights, 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. In that same division, the Vikings lose Kirk Cousins. He's gone for the season. They trade for Josh Dobbs with Arizona. What does that say to you about what they're doing moving forward, considering they had just won 3 in a row and we're back to .500?
I know. I will say Josh Dobbs is playing his butt off, and I am excited for him to get, you know, an opportunity. Kevin O'Connell saying, you know, praising Josh Dobbs and how quickly he can learn. So we'll see if he's able to get in that lineup. But it's a very interesting conundrum yet again, right? I think now the Vikings fans were really excited to know the prospect of this team doing well, even, you know, in spite of Justin Jefferson not being there in that lineup. But Josh Dobbs was winning football games for the Arizona Cardinals, and you could argue that he's stepping into an even more complete roster. True. In Minnesota, and maybe he's the dark horse darling of this team and has a resurgence of competitiveness with this organization. And, you know, we'll see what happens with Justin Jefferson. I think if the Vikings are able to stay competitive in this division, maybe Justin Jefferson is able to return and they can have a run with Josh Dobbs under center. But if anything, I'm excited for him to get this opportunity. Very heartbroken over the Kirk Cousins news, just knowing, you know, how great he is as a man and as a player. But again, it's a weekly game in the NFL, right? And teams are just one injury and one trade and one, you know, decision away from really resetting the leaderboard. And that's exactly what's happening right now.
As we approach the midway point, what's another surprise from the first half that stands out to you?
Ooh, that's a really great question. Honestly, I think a fun surprise for me is like what's going on in the NFC South. Earlier this season, even preseason, I thought that the Saints had a lock in this division because, you know, all these young quarterbacks, Derek Carr was going to come in and bring some veteran presence and some stability. But that's a really wide open division. And,
yes,
you know, I think the AFC has gotten so much attention of, oh, they have all these teams and superstars like Burrow and Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes and Tua. But the NFC deserves credit as well. And, you know, The NFC also has the ability to be way more open, in my opinion, than the AFC. So looking at this NFC South division between the Saints and the Texans and the Panthers and the Falcons, I think it's going to be really interesting and intriguing to see who comes out of those four teams and who really makes it to the playoffs with a decent run. That's kind of my biggest interesting nod and takeaway halfway through the season now.
Yeah, so much transition in that division. We weren't exactly sure how it would play out. But as you say, it's been a bit of a surprise where you've got three teams, once again, like last season, who are knotted right there at the top. And it could take all the way through to determine the winner in the playoff team. We're getting set for a 20th anniversary celebration with NFL Network. It's crazy because I can't even imagine now following the NFL, covering the sport without the network. And yet it's been 20 years. Wowzers. What does it mean to you to be part of a network that is invaluable for fans now?
It's amazing. You know, my entire life, really, the NFL Network has been there, and it's hard for me to even conceptualize what the NFL world is like without the presence of the network. So I just feel so grateful to be a small part of this amazing, huge family. And you know, all that we've been able to accomplish and the way in which we cover the game. And I'm so grateful to step in this season, you know, into the position of co-host for NFL Total Access and understanding that we have a piece of the apple, a piece of the pie in the most interesting and competitive sports league in our country. And we get to set the tone and daily talk about the men on the football field who play this sport and make us love this sport. To be able to celebrate 20 years is really special. But I think if anything, it's even, you know, encourage us more that let's make the next 20 even greater than the past 20. And there's so much more to go. And, you know, as we see the league expand internationally and as we see our players, you know, be at the forefront of social justice and pop culture with Taylor Swift and all of these things, you know, there's a lot of excitement around our sport, and to be a part of it is something truly special.
Your path is unique. It's not like you started on the analyst side. You were working with the league in a kind of different capacity. How did your path prepare you to be different on the air, to be a host of a show that brings a different perspective?
Yeah, I love that my path was nonlinear and, you know, kind of random, because it's given me a whole different sense and a whole different kind of viewpoint on the NFL itself, and understanding that, you know, I came from very much the business side as a business analyst and, you know, was deep into the numbers and the analytics of expanding the league internationally, of our event revenue and our strategy, of how we send emails to our fans, incentivizing them to, you know, buy tickets and engage with our products. Like having that foundational understanding that's so vastly different from what I do on air is really like this amazing blessing in disguise, because I know what makes our consumers tick. I know what our fan base looks like, both domestically and internationally. So when we put together shows and we talk about topics, I can be, you know, the loud voice in the corner that's, wait, well, what about this? And when they try to fight me on them, I'm like, no, I know the numbers. You cannot disagree with me on this one. I have the stats to back it up. So it's been this really funny and amazing journey to, you know, now be a part of the NFL in a holistic kind of 360 way, because I've seen so many different sides of the business and, you know, see how the league operates differently from our media office, but also understand how we're all one huge, you know, piece of the ecosystem. So I would not change it, and I would, you know, not trade it for anything, but to have this experience I'm just so grateful for it and excited to continue to use it to my advantage and be the loud one when my producer says no and I try to prove him otherwise.
Oh, yes. It's always good to be the loud one when you've got some opinions that need to be heard. I am with you. All right. You can find Kimmy on Twitter at K-I-M-M-I Checks. Kimmy Checks on air, NFL Total Access. And it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday on NFL Network. And she's one of the hosts there along with Mike Yam, 7 o'clock Eastern time, but also make sure you catch the coverage of the NFL Network's game in Frankfurt, Germany, Dolphins and Chiefs. Safe travels to you. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes. We'd love to have you on again.
Thank you. I love it so much, Amy. You're amazing. Go Chiefs this Sunday, but also go NFL. We're poised for yet another amazing season, and I think we'll be really surprised potentially at the teams we're talking about here in a few months in February in Las Vegas.
This episode is brought to you by FX's A Murder at the End of the World, starring Emma Corrin, Clive Owen, and Britt Marling. Emma plays Darby Hart, a sleuth and tech-savvy hacker. She joins an exclusive group invited to a retreat. When one of the guests is found dead, Darby must prove it was murder before the killer takes another life. FX's A Murder at the End of the World, now streaming only on Hulu.
I'm Kate Abdo, the host of Kicking It, a new weekly show from the CBS Sports Golasso Network, where Clint Dempsey, Charlie Davies, Mo Adu, and I connect with the biggest personalities from global soccer and beyond to learn about their journeys and what makes them tick. This is the place for football fans to hear unfiltered conversations with the game's most familiar faces. So what are you waiting for?
Follow and listen to Kicking It on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ew. Gotta get rid of this old Backstreet Boys t-shirt.
Tell me why.
Because it stinks, boys.
Tell me why.
I've washed it so many times, but the odor won't come out.
Tell me why.
No, you tell me why I can't get rid of this odor.
Have you tried Downy Rinse and Refresh? It doesn't just cover up odors. It helps remove them.
Wow, it worked, guys.
Yeah.
Downy Rinse and Refresh removes more odor in one wash than the leading value detergent in three washes. Find it wherever you buy laundry products.